Curry, pass to the corner. Draymond, run off the line. Dribbles baseline and hammers it down with two hands. Once he got around Bosh, nobody wanted any part of that.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors huddle with me, Bram, and with me as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And our resident insider, the San Francisco Chronicle's beat writer for the Golden State Warriors, and a man who has a strange fascination with the word bestie recently, Rusty Simmons. What's going on, Rusty?
I don't have a bestie currently. During the season, I have no friends because I'm never around.
Not even like an Olympic bestie, like nothing like that. Anthony Tolliver doesn't mean a lot to you, or somebody else random. Vontigo Cummings you don't have a relationship with?
I like all those guys, like David Lee, Jeremy Lin.
I was hoping my name I was going to throw. Whatever. I mean,
You're all right.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. Enough talking about this fool's very strange relationships. Too much to talk about with the Warriors to not finally get there. Let's start off with the Insider's Report, man. You have been with this team forever, past 9 years, every game, every practice. Let's take advantage of that. Start here. I was really fired up last night for the Draymond Green, Hassan Whiteside battle. And for those who are not in the know, this thing started way back in August. Is that right?
Yeah, during the dog days of the summer when the NBA is getting no attention, Hassan Whiteside decided to pick a fight, started talking about how ridiculous small ball is and how he could score double-doubles against any team that tried to do that to him.
Quote, small ball only works on centers that can't score, .. Hashtag facts only. I wish you could put someone 6'6 on me, .. Hashtag career high, hashtag high school days. Well, I mean, so that's an immediate F you, a giant F you, and out of nowhere. It's not like Draymond was talking to Hassan at all, right? Incidentally, Hassan is a very annoying name, but, you know, we can
keep saying
past that. Yeah. Draymond, not a person to back away, immediately shoots back. Quote, can you score, though? ? Bigs becoming dinosaurs, end quote. And not more than a couple hours later, here's Whiteside's response. Two dribbles in the post. They're going to cry for a double team. Just watch. Go small ball. Then hashtag light double double. Hashtag get your weight up. And then hashtag don't flop. I don't remember. Did you report on this as it happened? I know that you hopped back on it for this most recent matchup. But were you on top of this when it actually unfolded?
No. After getting done with the Warriors' two-month grind to get through the playoffs, I got some time off. So in August, like everybody else, no one's paying attention to the
NBA. So you're hell of lazy is what I'm... Okay,
absolutely.
That's pretty much what I'm hearing.
And I don't make a habit of reporting on Twitter beefs, but I thought this one was so good that it worked as a nice advance to this game.
It meant more to me than I care to admit. I actually, like, you know, I have these tattooed on my arm, as you can tell. I've just been reading right off. Well, this is way back in August. We are now, what, 5 months removed from that. This is finally the matchup. This is the thing that we've been waiting for. And then Hassan Whiteside does not play at all.
Which I was more upset about because he's on my fantasy team, but...
Hashtag nobody cares, buddy. But so let me start this way. One, was Draymond disappointed? Was he getting fired up for this? Did he talk about this this beef before the game? Did he talk about it afterwards?
Well, you know Draymond Green finds something to get motivated for every game. And I'm sure this was the thing. Whether it's a real or a created slight, he finds it for every game. So this one was an obvious, easy one. Yeah. But as we all know, Hassan came down with an infection of Draymond in his knee and decided not to play.
Okay.
Wait, so yeah, I mean, do you really think that that was the reason why he didn't play?
It was interesting because he wasn't even listed on the team's injury report. He truly does have knee tendonitis, and it's something he's dealing with. But he was not listed on the injury report. He was just listed as inactive. And that's the way I took what Miami did. I think they decided that he couldn't play in this game, and they made him inactive. They had 13 guys who were better suited to play against the Warriors, and they played small the entire time.
Let me make sure I understand what I'm hearing here. So we frequently throw out social media, people who are not really involved in the media game, about how other players will duck. If Chris Paul misses a game against the Warriors, we'll say that he came down with Stephitis. Straight out, in your experience, do players actually duck other players?
Absolutely. That happens, that players duck it. It also happens that trainers, coaches, GMs, agents think about it. Stephen Curry has never seen a challenge in the world that he didn't like, right? But when he was having all the ankle problems, they looked at who the next opponents were. And if he was going to go against CP3 at that time, they were like, this is not the time for him to test out his ankle.
That's interesting.
So all that stuff comes into account. But guys do come up with some mysterious flu bugs right before Curry comes to town and so forth.
What you were just saying makes a lot of sense, because if you are angry and if you're fired up to play, you're going to go that much harder, right? Yeah. And if you've got some injury that can be aggravated and you're the GM or you're the trainer or whatever, why the hell would you let them take right. that chance? Can you think of anybody as we sit here right now who just ducked out, who wasn't hurt at all and just did not want to play?
Well, Hassan Whiteside was the obvious one, but no, I think that was Miami's decision.
What about Dwight Howard? Seems to have ducked out on a lot of games against, but he seems to not like playing against Bogut.
Yeah, and DeMarcus Cousins missed the first
yep.
two, and then got himself kicked out of the third one because yeah. he was done playing against Bogut. Bogut has a way to get in certain guys' heads. JaVale McGee, we've seen DeAndre Jordan go through that with him. So there are some guys who don't like playing him, and all of a sudden have a flu that day.
Well, and he's also the anti-fake tough guy. Right. Like, if he talks about let's fight, that's not a hold me back. That's not a, ooh, I'm right. just being a tough guy for the cameras. That's a, I'm ready to beat your ass, right. and if you want to get down, then let's do this right. immediately. You can't throw out the word DeMarcus without me getting all fired up. You knew that, I feel like. I'll take the bait. We saw both sides of the DeMarcus coin in this last game. 33-10, maybe the most talented low post player in the league, certainly one of its most dominant, and batshit crazy. Yeah. Just
nuts.
Batshit crazy. He either threw or fake threw his mouthpiece at the ref after he got kicked out. Right before he got kicked out. I couldn't tell if it left his hand. And then definitely said, fuck you to the ref. Yeah.
Well, you mean the last game?
Yeah, last game.
No, he didn't get kicked out.
No, he got kicked out in the third game. Yeah. This last one, he was just horrible and went nuts at the end. But he couldn't get himself kicked out. He tried everything. But they let him keep playing.
No, I mean, he is... I think somebody who I just wouldn't want him on my team. I don't care how good you are. I just don't want him.
Well, I'm not letting you guys hijack him. Maybe I was wrong about when he got kicked out, but here is my first question to you. On the court, he seems crazy. Is he? I mean, you've actually met the man outside of the lines.
No, he's nuts. The first time I ever met him, I was sitting on the bench with Pete Myers, who was an assistant coach at the time for the Warriors. And DeMarcus walked by, and Pete Myers very nicely said, "Hey, what's up, big fella?" And this happens before every game. Players and coaches talk to each other. And DeMarcus looks at Myers and goes, "Don't talk to me. You didn't draft me." And as Myers tried to explain to him, like, we didn't have a pick early enough to take. Like, you know, DeMarcus didn't want anything of it, walked to the other end of the court. I mean, he's just nuts. He's not a friendly dude.
I mean, is he just mean and salty, or is he legitimately crazy? He seems like the kind of guy who would have like a shirt made out of hair because he thinks it like protects himself from aliens or something. Like, is he really that type of crazy, or no? He's just super competitive and doesn't know how to hold back his emotions.
Yeah, I don't know.
No hair shirts?
I don't know clinically that he's crazy. and I don't know about his hair shirts, but he can't control himself on the floor. That's obvious in everything I've seen. They've gone through coach after coach and point guard after point guard, and they don't get any better, and nobody plays with them, and nobody likes them. So, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about them.
I'll be really honest about this statement, or I'm sorry, this segment. Really, the reason I did it so I could use the word hair. I was able to get it in there. I mean, kind of slyly.
Between your holdup about hair and your love for potential DeMarcus Cousins trades, this segment is right up your alley.
Okay, DeMarcus straight up for Jason Thompson.
No.
You wouldn't. DeMarcus straight up for Jason Thompson. The guy is not playing
at
all.
The Warriors are 36-2.
So
why would you mess with it?
It wouldn't just make us immediately.
It wouldn't make you better. You would have a nuts guy. And we just discussed how crazy he is and how nobody likes him. Why would you bring that dude into the locker room?
We also know that this locker room, the Warriors locker room, is the most stable on earth. That we've got a culture that is far better than Sacramento. If he came in and said, "I would be willing to play off the bench," this is obviously a scenario that will never happen. But both of you guys, if Sacramento called you guys right now, you were somehow in charge of the Warriors, and they said, "I'll trade you to DeMarcus Cousins for Jason Thompson," you would say no.
The reason I may say yes would only be because I would then start shipping DeMarcus Cousins right away for somebody I actually wanted.
Yeah. You're ruining the segment with that answer.
Now, if he was bringing his hair shirt with him, I might let him come on as an inactive guy that just hung around in the hair shirt. But that's about the extent of it.
Well, obviously, you don't want to be attacked by aliens, my friend. So that's a very smart decision. The other thing that Sacramento game featured, even if it didn't feature DeMarcus getting thrown out, and I still think that happened, so I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
In his land of crazy, that might have happened also.
But the Battle of the Curries transpired. We saw Steph versus Seth. What kind of a rivalry exists between those two?
Oh, it's good. I mean, it's the backyard brotherly rivalries that you hear about. They compete. And growing up, my understanding is that Seth was the real competitive one. Like, if they were playing family board games, Seth was the guy who took it seriously and threw the board and fought and got mad. But now they've both got a little bit of that fire, and Steph knows his place in the league and tries to show off in front of Seth. And Steph is still at that place where he can – when Seth scored against the Warriors at Oracle and Steph was sitting out in a game that was over already, they had to – Steph stood up to cheer for his brother, and they had to tell him, don't do that. And so he yelled at somebody about missing a defensive assignment. So he likes his brother, but he also wants to one-up his brother and everything they do.
Was his mom at that game?
She was, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
secretly in love with her. This mic isn't on, right? No.
That's not a secret for anybody. Everybody's in love with her.
Yeah, I know. Like, get in line.
She is so remarkably hot. Here's the other question I had.
Oh, I was saying because she's such a nice person and raised this great family, and of course everybody would be in love with her.
Wait, isn't that what I just said? Yes. That's what I meant by the term hot, which is weird. Let me see. I'll keep it personal. This only shows how neurotic I am. If I was baby Curry, and I say that only because Steph and Seth sound so remarkably similar that we should separate them out. If I was the younger of the two Curry, I think I would be really bitter of Steph's success. I think I would take it really hard. I think I'd always say all the right things. I think I'd be happy for him when we were talking about it. But secretly, in my mind, I would be really angry about how well he was doing. Where are you guys on that neurosis scale? Would you be like that? Would you be rooting for him?
There is a spot of that with Seth. He went on the playoff journey and enjoyed his brother's success and wanted him to win the championship. All of that was legitimate and he loved it. But he also wouldn't sign with the Warriors because he didn't want to be in Stephen's shadow all this time, right? He was waiting for an opportunity to be somewhere else. And that's what Sacramento gave him. The Warriors tried to bring him back again for this year's summer league, and he wasn't going to do it. He knows that if he's ever going to get out of that shadow, he has to do it somewhere else. He can't do that in Oakland.
He specifically said that?
He did, yeah.
I don't want to be in that shadow.
Publicly, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, so he would give up millions of dollars in order to just not be on the same team as his brother?
You got to think about this. Like, he doesn't think that's going to be his only option, right? He's thinking, I'm going to get other options. And he's right. It maybe took longer. He had to go dominate the D-League for a year. He had to go dominate the Summer League before he got an opportunity, before he got guaranteed money. But players that are of this caliber don't think this is going to be my only way in. Like, he thinks he's good enough, thinks he proved that he was good enough, and then finally got the option. He wasn't thinking this is going to be the only place.
That makes perfect sense. And obviously I associate with him because I just told you that I would be really bitter about an older brother's success. But it wasn't just choosing your option into the league. He's looking at a team that just won the championship that would give him an amazing opportunity that is putting three-point shooting as a premium. Right. I mean, his in particular skill set, and decided instead to go to a remarkably unstable franchise. And it sounds like he was doing that almost out of, I just cannot handle the jealousy that will come from this, which, again, I associate with, but is entertaining nonetheless, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how much of it's jealousy, but definitely... Yeah,
I tried to slip that word in there.
Yeah, definitely that he wasn't going to get the same opportunity because everybody was always going to compare him to Stephen.
So jealousy.
Plus, he gets to play with DeMarcus Cousins, which everybody wants to do.
Exactly right. You're like, I'll fire off another DeMarcus trade right now. Last Insiders Report question. In the Portland game, there was two plays that I thought really illustrated the relationships on this team. One was the over-the-head alley-oop from Steph to Bogut. There, neither of them really celebrated at first. They get down on the other floor, and they only really let loose when they were together. They cared less about their individual accomplishment and more kind of like, look, we did that. You know, like, how amazing was that? And then same game, end of the half, Klay takes the ball down with, I don't know, 6 seconds left, hits a buzzer beater. Before the ball leaves his hands, Steph's got his hand in the air. He's moonwalking down the sideline, and you can tell these guys really enjoy each other. So that is our backdrop. What are the relationships on this team? Who hangs out with who?
It's an interesting group. They're all close. They have group chats and make dates for each other and hang out on the road.
Group chats, like online, they go...
Yeah, so like if one of them is going to dinner, they'll tell the other one, and then next thing you know, there's 12 or 15 of them there.
That's awesome.
It's the closest thing I've ever seen to a college team being in the professional game. They really hang out together and like each other, enjoy each other's company. But there are little factions, like Harrison and Andrew Bogut are really close.
Really?
They have similar sense of humor, and you would never know by seeing how Harrison Barnes presents himself in the public.
No way!
But their senses of humor are very similar.
Barnes
really
has a
friends.
Sense of humor?
Yeah, yeah. He's actually now gotten really close to Dave Chappelle, and is really into comedy and these things, but he presents himself as the senator, right? So he doesn't do any of that stuff on camera or publicly. But yeah, he has a great sense of humor, and Bogues loves it, and you get to see a little bit of it on Twitter. They kind of go at each other a little bit with the Black Falcon stuff. But off the court, they really like each other and hang out.
Give me somebody else. I stopped you. Bogut and Barnes. Who else?
Stephen Curry obviously is a family guy, so he doesn't spend a ton of time when he's home with the group. But the one guy who you see around him a lot is Draymond Green. Ralph will always be the security guard and the guy who's there, but Draymond Green was the guy throwing grapes in Seattle, right?
Right.
So he's that guy for Steph, and they spend a lot of time together. Yeah, but this is a group that it's interesting because when you go down the list, I don't know that the fans probably – link these guys up. Like, everybody knows Clay hangs out with his dog and that's about it, right? And everybody would guess that, but he and Andre Iguodala are really close. So there's some pairs in there that probably most fans wouldn't predict.
That suggests an intelligence level. Maybe I'm just projecting, but Andre I view as this really cerebral kind of guy. Yeah. I just haven't heard enough of Clay to really kind of gauge what I feel about him. So, I mean, that's a compliment to Clay kind of indirectly.
Yeah, and I'll continue that. Andre always liked Clay. And always wanted to get the best one, wanted him to get paid, always looks for – sometimes Andre has a dunk, but instead we'll pass it back out to Clay for a three-pointer. So he's always looking for him, and he was trying to get him to talk. When they first went on that trip to China, Andre would sit by him on the long bus rides to try to get him to talk, and I think that was part of what started it. But they've gotten close, and one of the ways that they've gotten really close is that they play chess. And I don't think a lot of people would guess that about Clay, right? You think of this guy who's kind of laid back and doesn't pay much attention to things, but he's really into chess, and Andre's gotten him into that and kind of the management of it and the thinking three steps ahead. And Andre thinks that will eventually play out on the floor where you see Clay thinking in sequences instead of, oh, I just caught it, I'm going
to
shoot it.
I imagine Andre having to subtly remind Clay every now and again that it's not checkers. Like, no, that piece doesn't move in that direction, but good job. Let me go individuals. Let me start this way. Lead dog. So you mentioned Steph and Dre hang out. Those would be my two candidates of who's going to lead the locker room. Who is it?
I think those two are probably the right answer now. It's been interesting to watch to see how it happened because when Steph first came into the league, he was playing around a bunch of 10-day contract guys who didn't have any other choice but to hang out with the likable Stephen Curry and saw what his trajectory was and wanted to be around him. But as they started to put more veterans around, more all-stars around, it would have been easy for the factions to start breaking off. And I think David Lee, a guy who's not with the Warriors anymore, was a big part of starting these group chats. And now it's just become the custom. When they're going to do something, they don't think, I'm going to go do this by myself. They think, I'm going to put this in the chat and see if other people want to show up. They'll be on the road in their own hotel rooms watching a game, and they'll start chatting with each other. And next thing you know, there's 15 guys on this chat discussing a game that's on NBA TV.
That's so unusual, man.
Yeah.
At least I imagine. I actually know nothing about NBA teams, but that seems to be really unusual. Who's the responsible guy on the team? Mr. Mom. The guy who says, look, it's not a good idea to go to the strip club tonight. Let's go home and call it a day.
Yeah, I mean, Andre is the guy who is constantly on them and responsible about the game. I'm trying to think if that's true in off the court situations, but on the court, you know, if they win by 25 and everybody's in there celebrating, he's like, no, we missed defensive assignments and we're not good enough and we're not going to win the championship, and kind of brings them back to reality. That makes me believe he's probably the responsible one off the court.
Which you haven't seen it yet.
But I haven't seen that, and I'm not sure they really need it. Like, until this summer, once they had won the title, we didn't see them go out and have a ton of fun and do those things.
Gallivanting, you mean?
The gallivanting.
Yeah, I thought there was we definitely saw it over the summer. Boy. And look how it's hurt him.
Yeah, it's obviously slowed him
down. Marshawn Lynch is not the responsible one. What he did to Draymond this summer, I'm going to take him out of it. So Andre right now is number one, and Marshawn Lynch is number 16.
Who's the butt of the jokes guy?
Festus is
here. I was going to say, let us guess, and that would not have been my guess. Festus is.
Yeah.
Just because of personality, because of lack of tenure? He's been there, I guess.
Yeah, it's a mix of things. One, he didn't come to the States until he was 14, 15, 16 years old, right? So there's a lot of things that culturally he's still awkward about. He didn't start playing basketball until about that age. So there's a lot of things about the game that he's still awkward about. He has, I guess you would say, a flair for his garb, for what he wears, and that is a good joke for everybody, you know? But it doesn't seem like, even if he was like the most straight-laced dude in there, it seems like he would be the guy anyway, because he's the biggest guy in there, and he doesn't go back at anybody, so he's just a perfect butt of every joke.
He takes it well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think a lot of times he doesn't understand why they're making fun of him, but he thinks it's fun and good natured, so he's okay with it.
He's there like this giant feather hat and just can't put two and two together, you know?
He's got the hair shirt that DeMarcus Cousins wants.
Let's move on to a new segment. It's a brand new one. It's called Trades for DeMarcus.
Oh,
it's going to be...
Oh, God.
We're going to the Warriors' focus. Rusty, you reported today that the Warriors are seriously considering sitting Draymond for one, if not two, of the upcoming back-to-back against Denver and the Lakers. What's going on?
Yeah, that's the plan, and I think it's long overdue. He's playing 34.9 minutes a night. It was 37 while Harrison was out for the 16 games. And it's not just 37 minutes. It's 37 minutes of being the key to the defense that rotates on everybody. He's making the majority of the decisions and doing a lot of the ball handling now. So they're strenuous minutes that he's playing. Sure. He plays hard.
I mean, but he's the one guy that I see in the fourth quarter still has more like pep in his step than anyone else. He doesn't see, he's 25 years old, right? Why, he doesn't need a rest two games. I mean, that's crazy.
If you saw him in a pickup game, he would play the same way. He's always going to have energy. He doesn't know how to play any other way, so that's what you see. But in the locker room after games, he has trouble walking. He has ice from his hip to his ankle on one leg and ice from his thigh or knee down to his foot on the other one. His legs have been beat up, and he changed his body after his rookie year. His knees were awful after his rookie year, very painful, and he changed his body so they don't take as much of pounding. But still, when you're pounding all the time like this, your legs get beat up. He's got ankle injuries. He's got, his knees don't feel great. He's got stuff all over the place.
I mean, why not use the days that they have practice to be the rest days? And why not allow him to play in a game? Because a game, 48 minutes, he's averaging like 34. So the guy's playing 34 minutes of basketball versus, like, I imagine these practices are an hour plus. Just sit him during practice.
Sit him both. What the hell is the upside of making him go through it? If the ultimate goal on this team is to win a championship, then sit him. Sit him for the next five. I mean, the only downside.
You didn't
of
even
this...
want to sit Steph when he had a shin injury, but now all of a sudden Draymond Green needs
That's
to sit.
Factually incorrect. I said that they should definitely sit him against the Burger Lakers. That's one of these two teams. And had they been playing against the
Draymond,
Nuggets,
wanted them to sit everybody, so they were not going to be allowed to play the game. They weren't going to have the nine guys that you need.
That
eligible.
Was Scott again. I'm the only one who listens to this podcast. But just to finish out that thought, the only downside of their current pace, the 72 win historic thing, is that now there's this weirdo pressure to win regular season games, and in the larger scheme of things, who cares? Sit these guys, get
but
them
I
healthy.
I care because it's a better story if they win 73.
You selfish bastard.
If they can't beat Denver without Draymond Green and they can't beat the Lakers without Draymond Green, then this team wasn't going to win 73 anyway.
Fair enough. All right, different direction. Last night, the bench stood out. In fact, it was the first game where the starting five was minus in the plus-minus, whereas the bench carry them to the victory, I guess, just based on that stat alone. It looked good from Harrison's end. It looked good from Moe Spate's end. Let's take them in turn. Start with Harrison. Would you guys keep him on the bench?
Well, he's going to start because Draymond's out. So he's going to start at power forward.
Nice way to bring him back.
Yes, yeah, so I think that's right. The way Brandon Rush is playing right now, you can't take him out of the starting lineup. He's playing great. And this is a good way to get Barnes more minutes to see if he's ready for it. They still think he's tentative. You see that he's not going to the rim. So they think that there's still something that needs to happen there before he gets back into the starting lineup. And after saying for his first four games that Barnes was definitely going back into the starting lineup, Luke Walton before the last game said, well, Brandon's playing this way, we're not moving him.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's what you have to do. You can't tell a guy who's playing this way that he can't compete for the starting job. He's earned it. He's playing great. And when Harrison's ready, he'll probably move back in there.
But can you do the whole, you can lose your starting lineup because of an injury thing?
Alex Smith them.
Right? Yeah, I mean, like David Lee lost his starting job because he was hurt, and Draymond Green was fantastic.
It worked out well.
Everybody's
they
healthy.
Won a title that year.
Yeah, everybody's healthy. Would you keep Harrison Barnes on the bench, or would you let him start?
I absolutely think that Harrison Barnes needs to be in the starting lineup as soon as possible because it goes back to the same reason he needed to be starting over Iguodala. His mental game just requires him being in the starting lineup, and I don't think that's true with Brandon Rush. Brandon Rush is playing great. Mainly that means he's hitting three-pointers, right. And I think he could still do that just fine coming off the bench, and I think he's been resigned to the bench role. He knows how to do it much better than Harrison knows how.
I agree. Some of Brandon Rush's best minutes have been as a sixth man. The year before he got hurt, he was their most productive, most consistent bench player. He was really good. But right now, nobody guards him. Because he plays with Steph and Clay, he gets to stand in the corner and make wide-open jumpers. And as good as Iguodala and Livingston are at passing, they're not demanding triple teams.
And we've seen Harrison Barnes off the bench, and he is not productive when he's the focal point of an offensive unit.
Right.
You know, I mean, now maybe it's a little bit different of a makeup now, but we can't suddenly expect him to be able to take the ball and create on his own. That's never been his game, and I don't think it would be his game here. So, unfortunately, I think we all agree, which kind of sucks. It'd be better if we were fighting this out. Next topic. I've made the mistake of venturing outside of the Warriors' bubble on social media. You start looking at people who don't root for the Warriors start coming off as bullies. They hate them. They're cocky bastards everywhere they go. And here's what I started thinking. If I was playing in a pickup game or a rec game or something, and another team came in, beat the hell out of me, and then every time they scored, you know, did the moves with their hands and were celebrating and dancing and the whole thing, it would drive me crazy. They would come off as bullies. I don't get to go on any of these road games. Are we coming off as bullies on the road, or is this just kind of jubilant happiness?
Yeah, I could see how it plays out that way. What the Warriors call playing with joy could be seen as playing with cockiness or something like that. And I used to wonder about that when the Clippers and the Warriors would go back and forth all the time. Like, in my mind, it was the Clippers who were the guys that were flopping and doing all this posturing after plays as if they were going to fight and doing all these things. But then I started looking around the league and everybody was having those same problems with the Clippers. The reason I don't think that's true about the Warriors, although if Stephen Curry keeps dancing after every shot, somebody's going to smack him.
Right.
He's the worst celebrator in the NBA. Yeah. Not that he does it a lot, but the way that he does it, he's just bad at celebrating. Right. It looks awkward. It's goofy. It's not cool.
Scott's really good at celebrating. I don't know if you've ever actually seen him celebrate, but he is so good at it.
I would guess that for sure. what you hear from the players, at least, the opposing players and coaches, is that they're so mesmerized by the execution that the Warriors play with and the unselfishness. And I think all of that kind of stuff, the way they defend and switch and all the way they don't care about stats except the wins, I think all of that stuff probably right now outweighs the fact that they do celebrate and gallivant on the floor.
Just like their offseason. I cannot believe this wasn't the first thing out of my mouth after Warriors Focus. We've got breaking news, and it concerns Mo Spates' head. Bresti, take us from there.
Well, I don't know exactly what the breaking news is here. I can report that it appears the cyst on his head has had some work.
I thought I saw it the other night. I really did, against Miami. I thought I saw it there, but...
Well, by the post game, when he was doing the interview, there were only remnants of it. And I'm not sure... I don't know the medical details just yet, but...
Good use of the term remnants there. I feel, like, awkward and disgusted, kind of.
I'm not sure if it has been removed or if some of it has been taken away or what exactly is happening. But I will talk to Mo about this and figure out exactly what's happened. It didn't seem like the right format when I was in a gaggle interview with him after a game, but
I can't
I'll
help
figure
but,
out a time.
But notice that there's only remnants left of that gigantic bulb on your head. Mo, would you care to comment on that? You can write that question down if you want to get to the bottom of it.
What's funny about Mo is he probably would be glad to answer the question. He loves it. Like, he always makes a big deal about it post-game when they call him over and they're like, you got to talk today. And he's like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. And then he's happy as can be as he walks over there and chats. And when there's only 2 minutes worth of questions, he wants to know why people don't want to ask him more, because he's there to answer.
I could really do an entire podcast about the cyst on his head, so I'm gonna have to be dragged away from this topic.
Would you trade the Marcus Cousins?
Yes. Damn it. Oh, you fooled me. That's the only thing I would not trade for DeMarcus. Give me a Kevin Looney update. My understanding is he's healthy. He's in Santa Cruz and, in fact, making his debut tonight.
Yeah, I'm missing it right now because I care about you guys and want to do the show.
Again, you understand that when you gesture, people don't see that? I mean, this is not a television show, man.
We're not videoing this?
I mean, how many times are you going to make
missing
that mistake?
Out. Yeah, so he's playing right now in Boise, Idaho. The Santa Cruz team is up there, and he came off the bench, but I saw him run from one end of the court to the other without holding his hip. So
there you go.
I would say that's a success so far.
Are you expecting him to be up at the big club?
No, no time soon. I think he got a lot while he was recovering from his hip surgery. I think he got a lot of really good time with the team. He was traveling with them. One of the hardest things as a rookie is to learn diet, travel, how to get in your rest how to get in your workouts while you're on the road. It's, there's no time to do anything.
Right.
It's not where you're comfortable. So I think he did a good job of being around the team during that and learned what he needed to learn as a rookie. But if he's going to get any playing time, it's going to be with Santa Cruz, and that's where he's going to be.
These takes are reaching less and less of the audience as more and more bandwagoners join on. But what an illustration of the difference between where this team used to be and where they are now. That the first rounder has not played a second, that they've made it back to the D-League. We don't care. It doesn't matter how healthy it is. If he comes up, he does. If he doesn't, he doesn't. If he doesn't pan out at all, it's not a big deal. You know, we don't need him in any way.
And their last first rounder before that was Nemanja Nedović, who nobody cared when they just cut him.
Yeah, he flared out quick.
He was supposed to be so good, too. He was like this huge European dunker. He had those, like, shady YouTube videos that I was all over. All right, well, I'm going to whisk us away to another segment. Brand new for you, Resty, but an old one for the show. Look around the league. So we're actually going to venture outside of the world of the Warriors, although really just kind of indirectly, and talk about the Spurs. Here's why I'm terrified of them. Let me give you three reasons, or at least three stats, that scare the hell out of me. One, they lead the league in average margin of victory. They have 14 wins of 20 points or more. That dwarfs the Warriors' number of, I think, 8. They lead the league in almost every defensive category, including defensive three-point field goal percentage. And despite the fact that the Warriors have rolled off the best start to a season in NBA history, the Spurs are only 3.5 games behind, and they're getting zero publicity, really, which is exactly what they want. They're just kind of staying under the radar. And, oh, by the way, they're mixing in this amazing low post threat who has not yet really found his legs in this new offense in LaMarcus Aldridge. My money, if I had to place it, would still be on the Warriors. I mean, obviously, I'm not doing a Spurs podcast, but I'd be lying to say that they don't scare me. Gentlemen, which side of the ball of this are you guys on? Are you afraid of them? Do we not have to worry? I mean, what's your take?
Well, I think Warriors fans should be very afraid. Yeah, San Antonio's good. And the Warriors have, as you said, had this remarkable start and can't get rid of them. If San Antonio has home court advantage, San Antonio wins the series. It's that simple. The Warriors haven't won there in the regular season in 30 straight games plus.
And so that's why when Bram says, let's sit Draymond, let's sit Steph, that's why I would say, no, you can't, because you need the home court advantage and the Spurs are right there.
In general, I would agree with you. In this situation, Draymond Green needs to rest. It's going to lead to injuries that are there in the playoffs if he does not rest.
One, I would imagine the one thing we can agree on, the one thing they need more than home court advantage to beat the Spurs would be Draymond Green or any of the other players who might not be healthy when we reached that portion of it. Here's another reason why the Spurs scare me. They are the only team I can identify whose best player is better than ours, and what I'm talking about is Popovich. That guy scares the hell out of me.
That Kawhi guy is not very bad either.
No, he is not very bad. But I can just see Pop secretly, you know, coming up with some kind of backdoor strategy to screw us over. Especially if you think about that our offensive system essentially springs from his. Now we've added in the whole triangle influence, I would assume, because of Phil Jackson. But if anybody knows how to kind of gum up the works, it's going to be the guy who originally started this kind of pass first offense. So again, push comes to shove, money hits the table, I'm still betting Warriors. But on a ride where we're looking towards 72 wins, you'd think that this would just be fun and games. When the 96 Bulls were gallivanting through the season, I'm sure their fans weren't worried about anyone else in their conference and certainly not the league. Mm-hmm. It's really weird to be sitting on top of this historical mountain but still have to like look back and see this other team that just might stab you in the back, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, the season's very long. There's still a lot of it to go. The Spurs can definitely be the type of team that gets guys injured because they are old. And I think the Spurs have lost all six of those games. All six of their losses have come on the road. I don't think they're a great road team, which, again, that's why you really need home court advantage. And so I do think they are beatable when you get them on the road.
And they normally don't take their guys when they play on the road. So that, I mean if Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili aren't on the plane, it's tough to win on the road. Something tells me in the playoffs they'll bring those guys.
Man, it's your inside knowledge is just mind-shattering, man. That's why you get paid the big dollars, you know what I mean?
By the way, we're all looking forward to January 25th, and I think Pop is going to let us hype that thing up and then sit everybody.
Okay.
And I think that's going to be so funny.
Help me. How much money would you sell tickets for? I got tickets to that game. I'm slowly considering thinking about selling them.
People buy tickets to the games? What are you guys doing with your lives?
Okay, you pompous bastard. I'm not even going to have this conversation with you.
All right, we're going to try a brand new segment here. It's called Join the Huddle. We're actually going to open it up to callers, and we're lucky enough to have the first caller in the history of the show. Start us off, man. Give us your name.
Did he get a t-shirt for that?
He may. Scotty, we got a t-shirt for him, or? Yeah, we'll see, man. Hopefully we can send you off a t-shirt, but take us from there. Give us your name and how long you've been a Warrior fan.
That's fantastic. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I am this is a big honor. That's actually quite cool. I'm really excited to be a part of this. My name is Nick. I live in Berkeley, and I've been a Warriors fan. As a kid, I was a Warriors fan, but I was a little young to understand the ins and outs. So I kind of watched from afar, and it was right before We Believe. I guess it was actually the We Believe team, but it was before they got going that I became, I think, what you'd consider like a true fan, one who hurts every time they lose, which after those two seasons was quite a lot. So I've been a fan for a while.
You actually saw some hardship as a Warrior fan. You didn't just jump on after the championship. You've been through at least some nasty
right,
times as well.
Right. No, you know, beyond that, Steve Curry and Clay Thompson, I believe with a C, those are my two favorite players. No, absolutely. I've been through some hardship. One of my favorite seasons, I was talking with my buddy today about this, one of my favorite seasons ever was actually the lockout season. And just watching, you know, those dudes, Jenkins and B Rush, like running the floor. I loved that. That was my favorite. Maybe not what I ever want to see again, but, weirdly enough, a great time as a Warriors fan. Pressure was off.
There you go. Anybody who can reference Charles Jenkins has my respect. Well, you got Rusty on the line, man. You got any questions or takes for us?
No, man. You know, I'm actually just calling because I saw the number up there on Twitter. Just wanted to congratulate you guys on doing this stuff. And, just wanted to say, I mean, really, you know, I don't know about you guys, but this whole thing is just completely surreal. I hope that this is an okay forum to not make a question, just make a statement. But this whole thing is totally surreal. And every single day I have to remind myself that it's going to change at some point, and I just got to enjoy this because this is bananas. This is totally nuts.
Hey, appreciate the call. Scotty said that if you can name the five rookies who started that final game, the lockout year, he will send you a t-shirt.
Meanwhile, that's the hardest question that anyone's ever been asked.
You remember Charles Jenkins?
There's no.
And I'll give him Jeremy Tyler.
I couldn't answer that, but Nick, if you can, I'll tell
Jeremy
you what.
Jeremy Tyler was the other one I was, oh man.
There you go. There's if you can name three rookies who are on that team. Five, yeah, get out of here. Name three rookies on that team. We'll get you a shirt, man, and of course you can drop a take. In fact, any compliments you ever want to call us with, we are down to accept, so we really appreciate it. But go ahead.
Thank
What's your,
you so much.
Yeah,
I just got to get one more on there other than those two, is that right?
Fair enough.
All right. This might be, God, this is a really scary moment. I mean, would the other one be Clay?
That works.
Oh, boom. Is it good that I host a show and I wasn't even sure if that was the answer? I looked over to Rusty to see whether or not he actually nodded his head. But
Brim looked over, panicked.
I did. No,
like, was Clay on that team?
I'm sweating profusely right now, but thankfully enough, you were right, man. We appreciate you giving us a call.
Fantastic. I appreciate that, guys. That's fantastic.
Hello. You're on the huddle, man. Who's this?
This is Jeremiah Jackson here. How you doing?
Oh, former guest on the huddle, if memory serves, man. Way back when we were still debating whether or not the Warriors were better than the Lakers. We appreciate you calling in.
Exactly. I just wanted to call in reminiscing about you asking me if I preferred the Lakers roster with an aging Kobe and Powell, et cetera, or if I would take the Warriors young cast over the Lakers. And I stood firm in my position that I would take the Lakers all day.
I remember that. I remember it getting really contentious and almost awkward to the point where we were both kind of sweating and fighting, man. So that was nicely played. You are the perfect guy to answer this question. Rusty and I were just arguing about this off the air. If the fight between Draymond and Artest had actually happened during the Warriors' last matchup with the Lakers, who wins that fight?
Oh, man. You know, Artest is old. It's hard for me to ever bet against Artest in a fight. And didn't he say he wanted to do pro boxing or something like that as well? So I would take Artest just because I think he has a slight edge in the lunatic factor. But it's tough because Draymond is I think Draymond is a tough opponent. But my money's on Artest.
Rusty, weigh in here.
I think Jeremiah hit it right on the head. Like, you never bet against crazy.
If a dude will bite you, he's going to win.
Unless Crazy is 85 years old, which in this case he happens to be. My money is definitely on
Draymond. He doesn't have dentures yet, man, and he will bite you.
He doesn't have any jaw strength left. I'm not even worried about his bites in any way, man. Jeremiah, any questions, takes? I respect your opinion, man. So what do you think about the Warriors? You got a question that Rushy can answer?
Man, I think this has been an amazing season for the Warriors, and so I just want to give them all the credit. And admit that I was wrong. My biggest question with this team is, I've heard that they're sitting Draymond the next couple of nights potentially, and just how you put in perspective the desire to win another title with the hope of breaking that goals record.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's something the Warriors are dealing with as an organization right now. It took Bob Myers, the general manager, and Steve Kerr, the head coach, sitting down with Draymond to convince him of this plan to sit out the next two games. Because Draymond naturally wants to play, and the Warriors are not scared of chasing history. So they know that 72 number. They want to beat that, and they want to be playing all those games, even at Denver and home against the Lakers, games that they should be able to win without their normal starting five. They want to be out there, but I think Draymond finally got convinced of it today. And they know. They went through the grind of the 2 months of the playoffs last year. They know what it takes to get there.
Jeremiah, I'm going to give you credit. You just knocked Rusty into his professional voice. Boy, he went right into the exact kind of vocal intonation I hear when he's on 680. So it was a phenomenal question. I'm with you, man. I think that these guys should chase the championship, not 72 wins. We in fact, just argued about this not seconds ago, so I won't bore the audience with the same take. But I think it's an interesting issue, and I would sit the hell out of Draymond. You know what I mean? Why? Who cares? Why risk that in any way?
Got it. Yeah, it makes sense.
You're the man, Jeremiah. We really appreciate you touching base, man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Huge fun, you guys. That's true every week. Certainly true this week. Please remember, you want to reach out to us if you got a question you'd like us to answer or a take that you wouldn't mind hitting up on the show. Shoot us an email at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is @warriorshuddle. Rusty, what's your Twitter account?
Oh, they already know.
That's terrible. It's a terrible. Why?
What the Twitter account is. They already know it.
One of these times you're actually going to say it. We are on a bunch of podcasting services. So if you're just listening to us online, you can also hop on iTunes or Stitcher or a bunch of other ones. Catch us there. Also, if you guys wouldn't mind taking the time, write us a review. It means the world to us. We'd really appreciate it. Finally, our website is warriorsworld.net. And before we get out of here, we actually have a result on the t-shirt contest. Scotty, who won?
So the question was, how many points are the Warriors going to score in the Miami Heat and Sacramento game? Answer was 232. So we actually had no one guess the right answer, but we did have somebody who guessed 233 and somebody who guessed 231. We put those two names into a hat, picked out at random, and the person who won goes by the Twitter handle 4D9er. So congratulations to you. We will hit you up and get you a t-shirt. Thanks for entering.
I hope he was the one who had 231, because in all of these contests, the rule is the closest without going over.
You mean the Price is Right rules?
No, every contest in the world.
No, what you mean is the Price is Right rules.
And that one too. That is one of the contests.
Well, yes, he did have 231.
Yes.
Going into the future, that'll be the rule. Thanks for listening, you guys. Go Warriors, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Lyrically, untouchable, uncrushable, running in a 600, running in a 600. Untouchable, uncrushable, running in a 600, running in a 600.
Yeah. I drops every blue moon to separate myself from you kings of the YouTube. I am more YouTube. I am like Bono with the A.
Good.